To behold means to gaze upon, to contemplate, to deeply consider His presence, His character, and His glory. Can we behold Him this morning, church? Can we behold Him this morning? The beautiful, incredible Savior, Jesus. And I know this might be a stretch for some of us, but I really feel like there's this moment where we just need to get lost and almost swept up in Him. Swept up in His wonder, in His goodness. It feels like over the last few weeks, there's been so much that God has been doing. Man alive. Like every week, I'm having conversations with people where I hear what God has been doing. Like God has been doing this and He's been doing that. And I had a sense this week that, you know, even through our preaching, that we can respond to what the Lord is doing. And it's so good. It's so important. But it's almost like we sometimes need a little pause, a breath. Can we come up for air? And can we just see Jesus? Because Jesus has been doing so much in it. And sometimes we get a little bit like Martha, who's running around and serving. But in a sense, I saw another picture, like she's running around because Jesus is doing so much. And it's like, yo, God has done this and God has done that. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'm not the same person I was. But it's like, breathe, pause, breathe Him in. Breathe Him in. Breathe Him in. Sit at His feet, be like Mary for a moment. And just sit there and allow the oil of His healing, the oil, the balm of oil, that just come, it just soothes. The anointing oil, just to let it to come and just let it flow over you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. Just let it saturate you. Let it saturate you. You are beautiful, Jesus. You are beautiful, Jesus. You know, so often we get caught up in these things that we just miss the moment. And even like I had a time this morning where I woke up so early, 2:30, couldn't get to sleep again. I've just had so much on my mind and my heart this week and just processing so much and situations and that. And like by about 4:00, I was like, okay, I've like spent time with the Lord. I'm like, and then I suddenly remembered that there's been this solar magnetic storm phenomenon happening. And some guys have been seeing the Aurora Australis, which is the southern lights in southern Africa. And I thought, man, maybe there's a chance. What's the chance that maybe I might get a glimpse of these incredible lights? I mean, my brother in Seattle was posting photos in our family group of the Aurora Borealis, which they see, or the northern lights. And I think every 20 years we get these phenomenons happening or something like that. And I thought, what's the chance? And I suddenly thought, I'm running up the mountain. And it's 4:30. And I'm like, it's cold, it's early, the sun is not up even yet. What's the chances? And so I got on my running clothes, got my dog, and I headed up the mountain without a headlight in the pitch black. Stumbling over roots, over rocks, finding my way along the path. It's actually amazing how lit the town is. It lights that mountain quite. But I had this black shape in front of me leading me, so I just followed where she went. And so at about 5:15, I got to the cross, which looms above us here and reminds us of Jesus. And I sat there for about 30 minutes, pretty disappointed, because I didn't see anything. Then I thought, maybe I'll see the sunrise. It was way too early. I was about an hour before the sun was supposed to rise. Sunrise is about 6:45, I think. I was like 6:45. I'm like, this is cold. I was trying to tuck into my dog and cuddle her to keep me warm. And I thought, no, I'm going down. I'm going down the mountain. I'm not waiting. And I got home. And by the time I got home, the sun still hadn't even risen. And I just had a revelation this morning that that is so much like our lives. We're so busy chasing these things. So busy wanting to chase a phenomenon like beautiful lights, beautiful sunrises and things. And actually, it wasn't about that. It was about doing it in the dark. Doing it when there was no glory, when there was no reward, but just doing it. And then getting home, having a shower and having a cup of coffee and getting ready for church. But I realize so often we are pursued by a sense of things. And even in our walk with God, it's sometimes a little bit like that. We're so busy pursuing and seeking Him for change to do things in our lives. And we're so intent about just Him, like making me more into His likeness, which is good and is important, but we forget to sit at His feet and just wait. And if all that God wanted me to do this morning was sit in the pitch black darkness, well, it wasn't pitch black. I mean, really, George lights are crazy. But just to sit there and not see anything, if that's all He got me to do this morning, well, then it's worth it. It was uncomfortable, it was cold, but man, and I think sometimes in our lives, we get so caught up and swept up in things that He just says, hold the bus, just sit at my feet and drink from me. Drink from me. And you know, the things that I had this morning to share, they're not revelationary, but it's the Word of God. And I felt like there's a lot of Scripture. And I think sometimes just going through some Scripture just gives us that fresh, what does it mean to behold Him? And so, did you get that second batch of Scriptures I WhatsApped you? Cool. Because I sent you a whole lot and then I sent you another. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And let's just look at that Scripture together. And it's just about fixing our eyes on Him. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or the author, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. Let that soak over you right now. It's the Word of God. It's life. It's life. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's got to start there. The author, the perfecter of our faith. We sang that song this morning about He is faithful. He is glorious. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Let that revelation hit you again like a wave. Come on. This is not new stuff, but I feel like we need to be reminded of again, because this is a moment of just sitting at the Father's feet going, oh, Lord, this morning I'm fixing my eyes on You. Not on my circumstances, not on my situation, and tragically, not a building that collapsed this week. And yes, it's a tragedy, absolute tragedy, and lives were lost. And I hope many of them knew Jesus. But I tell you what, an incident like this week makes us catch a wake up that life is short. Time is limited. Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? Focus our attention on Him, because He is our source of hope. Those of us who are hopeless or feeling hopeless this morning, He is your source of hope. Tap into that. He's the one that guides. He's the one that strengthens. Contemplate His beauty. Reflect on His loveliness, His grace, His majesty. Be captivated by His divine nature. Read Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I desire, only this I seek, is to dwell. Yes. One thing I ask from you, Lord, this only I do seek, is that I might dwell in your house all the days of my life, and may gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Yes. I mean, so many songs have been written. I mean, do you recognize that song I started singing? It's beautiful. Like, how many of us take time just actually to reflect on those words and just to find Jesus? You know, we've got an incredible worship that helps us come into the presence of the Lord. Make use of it. Only this I seek is to dwell here forever. This will be my pasture. This will be my sitting at your feet, just to dwell here forever. Oh, that song is beautiful. Oh, gracious friend, so beautiful, so beautiful. Glorious Father, closest friend, yours beautiful, most beautiful. One thing I desire, one thing that I seek, is to dwell here forever. This will be my posture. This will be my peace, just to dwell here forever. See, the beauty of that song is dwelling at the feet of the Father. Can you feel Him? Can you sense His presence? And for some of us, that might be it strange or different, but I'm telling you, it's for each and every one of us. I get emotional because I love Him so much. He died for me. He set me free. And He is beautiful. Oh, Jesus, wreck us. Wreck us for you. Wreck us for you. And I was reminded of the story of, well, there are two stories in the Bible where, well, there's a number of stories, but two that I remember well. But as I said, I reminded of a third one and a fourth one. When people encountered Jesus, they were physically transformed. First one was Moses. When he went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and to spend time with the Lord, I mean, first things first, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. Holy ground. Holy ground. Get your life right with Jesus. And I think that emphasis has been coming through holiness, holiness, holiness. Thank you, Tandi. Look at that. She saw a need. She anticipated it and she met it. It's because she cares about me. That's the abbreviation of care. For someone, you see a need, you anticipate it before it's made known and you meet it. Moses went up that hill and he was physically changed. That actually, I think they, if I remember correctly, they had to put a veil over him because his face was so radiant because of the glory of God. So transformed, so changed that I think it permanently bleached his hair. I can imagine, I don't think the roots ever grew out again. He was physically changed. Because he had a moment. And I almost wonder that scene. I've often meditated on it. I mean, the Lord said, actually, you can't see my face. I've got to put you in the cleft of a rock kind of thing. Because if you saw my face, you would die. But yet, there's paradox of where actually he encounters the Lord. I'm like, so what actually happened there? I haven't dug in it too much. Maybe some other people can explain that a bit. But that's not the point is he was changed. Another story that I'm reminded of is the moment when Jesus went up and he took his disciples with him. And that was an incredible moment So much so that Peter did some crazy things, like wanting to build a tent. Like, come on. Like, he goes up there, and Jesus is in the presence. The cloud envelops him, and they fall on their faces. They're overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord. And I can imagine, where we talk about being drunk in the Spirit, I can imagine Peter was a bit drunk in the Spirit at the moment, because he was like, hey, Lord, can we build you a tent? Like, what was he saying? Kind of thing. I know there are many different sort of angles to that one, but I've always looked at it from that way. I think Peter was a little bit out of it, like, can we build you a tent? And the Lord's like saying, Peter, what are you on about, dude? I'm fine. I don't need a tent right now. But he was changed. Jesus was changed in the presence of his Father. Came and they radiated. And I know Peter, James, and John, they were changed. They were transfigured. They were, you know, it speaks about, the Bible labels it the mountain of transfiguration. But I know that those three men were changed in that moment. And Peter had countless encounters with Jesus that when he was changed, walking on the water. Like, there were so many moments. I mean, you're loving him more yet? Hey, I love it when I hear stories of people experiencing his presence. But not necessarily in a church context, but just on their own. Who can honestly say in the last week they experienced the presence of God? Come on, that's amazing. For the rest of us, I want to encourage you that, you know, experiencing and encountering Jesus on a day-to-day basis comes with discipline. It comes with a sense of desire. And I'm not saying you don't desire him, but I think it's like that bulldog that won't let go. You know, that's or the staffy. Hendrik will know. That you've got to take a hose pipe and stick it down its throat, full taps water to let go. We've got to be like that staffy that won't let go. Won't let go. Don't let go. But when the Lord speaks, that we need to respond. Because in those moments of his presence, he's going to show you things. Because that's his nature. He doesn't just rock up for the sake of rocking up. We experience his presence because he wants to reveal something about us, and he wants to do something, but it's also because he just wants to love on us. I love that scripture in Psalm, again, 139. It says, where can I go from your presence, Lord? Where can I flee from your... Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, there, you are there. In the depths, you are there. I was having a conversation with a young man this week, and he was on the verge of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. On the verge. And you know what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? It's actually to deny him, to say, I will not listen, and I will turn my back, and I will do what I want. He was on the verge. He was on the cusp, and I was so grateful that he didn't. He said, Chad, I couldn't flee from him, because I knew if that moment, if I did that, I would lose his presence forever. I was like, thank you, Jesus, that he had that revelation, because that would have been tragic to see a young man with so much potential in his life squandering an inheritance because he blasphemed the Holy Spirit, that he turned his back on the presence of God. Don't run ahead of God. Even this morning, this moment, this is a moment of just sitting and just not running ahead of him. Like, I want his presence more than anything. I want his presence more than anything. More than time with my wife, actually. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go there, up to the heavens, you're there. If I go down to the depths, you're there. He needs to be everywhere with us. When we're getting in that car and driving to work, to school, whatever, wherever we go, are you aware of his presence? Confession. I sometimes, we know we're not all perfect. We heard it. Well, 90% of us, maybe I'm in that 10% category. No, but there are moments where I forget about Jesus and I need to stop the bus and go, where are you running? Where are you running? Are you running on your own steam or are you running under His lead and guidance? Oh, Jesus. Ah. Oh. How often do you reflect on His character? How often do you sit and reflect on His character? Just in your quiet time, just sit there and go, just maybe, I think, you know, one of the greatest things is the more you know about someone, the more you know them. And so sometimes, you know, we talk about the difference between knowing God and knowing about Him. But I believe that as you get to know about Him, the revelation changes into one of where I know Him. So if you don't know about Him and about who He is and His nature, get to know Him. Because that will change you. That'll change your perspective. That'll change your understanding, the revelation. Even as Monet came and shared about salvation again last week. Like, you know, sometimes we don't understand salvation until we hear the message plainly and simply put again. And we know about salvation, but it suddenly becomes we know salvation. And I think sometimes that needs to happen. We know about God and it needs to change that we know God. But we get to know God by knowing about Him. Spend time. Go. What does it mean? What is His character like? Who is He? What does the Bible say? Find the Scriptures. And then we need to respond to Him in worship and adoration. You know, I'm a strong advocate for using our voices. I challenged the men on Friday morning. Can we turn up the volume a little bit? Can we shout it out? Can we use this incredible instrument that God has given us to worship Him and adore Him and proclaim it? You know, I said to the guys in Malawi, because they're very quiet people. They're quieter than you guys. Shocker, eh? They're quieter than you. And I said, and it's like, you know, the thing that we can always tap into in terms of tugging on people's heart is their love for sport. And I said, come on, you guys, you'll sit and you'll cheer your favorite soccer team, but you need to get fervent for the Lord and declare it. And they responded. There was shouting. There was jubilation. There was declaration. We need to use our voices. And please don't come up with an excuse that I'm a quiet person. God gave you a voice. Quiet people don't have vocal cords. You just need to turn up the volume. Turn it up. Crank it up. If it's too loud, you're too old. Come on. Are you worried what the neighbor's going to say? Shout it out. I remember there was a young man that I knew many years ago that also this battle of purity for him was a real challenge. And you know how he overcame it? Because often he would come to worship practice and he'd say, Chad, I can't speak. I lost my voice worshiping in the car today. I was like, why? He says, no, because I had a battle to fight. And I was worshiping. I was screaming it out. I was shouting to Jesus until I couldn't speak no more. Come on. I was like, he worshipped and he overcame the enemy through his praise and through his declaration of God's goodness. In Revelations, it says in 5 verse 12, it's just in a loud voice. You receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Come on. Jesus, the one who we adore, the one who we love, can we give him all we've got? Come on. Seek to know him. Desire him more. Philippians 3 says, I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I want to know Christ. Seek to know him deeper. Desire. How do we feed desire? For the young singles, we always say, don't awaken that flame before the right time. In terms of the physical and the attractions and the hormones. And so that's desire. I mean, I'm just putting it plainly here, kind of thing. How do we awaken desire for Jesus? And how do those youngsters awaken desire for each other? Is because they get too close. There's no room for Jesus. That's how they awaken desires, is because they just happen to touch his shoulder. And what happens? How do we awaken a desire for Jesus? We get close to him. We get close to him. There's no room for anything else between us and him. Nothing in between him and me. Close. Tucked there, just under his wing. Oh, yes, I got goosebumps. Wunderflies. Yes, I'm just loving Jesus right now more and more. You know, the beautiful thing about his presence, about his grace, about his glory is that he transforms us. I'm going to go back to the story of Moses and the disciples and even Paul on the road to Damascus. When he encountered Jesus, he was changed. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He was looking for the followers of Jesus, but he wasn't looking for Jesus. Yet Jesus had an appointment with him, made him blind, wrecked him, wrecked him. The presence of God will change you forevermore. It'll change you forevermore. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your outlook on life, no matter where you think you're going, an encounter with Jesus will wreck your life for the good. He transforms and says, 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be made into his likeness. That is the bonus. That's the bonus. It's not the goal. It's the bonus. Because if we do all this with that being in mind, we've missed the point a little bit. It's the bonus. This morning for me, if I had seen the Southern Lights and seen those, that would have been a bonus. It would have been a score. But I realized that it shouldn't have been my agenda. My agenda was to go up the mountain and spend time with Jesus. If I'd seen the sunrise, that would have been the bonus. Well, that would have been a given because the sun always rises. But if I'd seen the Southern Lights, that would have been a bonus. So when we build, know that the bonus is that he changes us. And so deep contemplation on a beautiful Savior that died for our sins, that rose on the third day. And so, Lord Jesus, even in this place, as we've taken this time just to gaze on you, I pray that the revelation, the wonder, the glory of who you are would just saturate us. The oil, as we sit at the feet of the Father like Mary did, not wanting to get caught up in all the things that are happening and all the things that he is doing in us, but just to sit and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've put me in this family. Thank you that you've rescued me. Thank you that you are providing my every need. No matter what my circumstances, let him be the one that you fix your gaze upon. Allow him to do what he wants to do in your life by just by you sitting at his feet. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you. We praise you. We worship you. Just to dwell with you. Closest friend. Most beautiful, most beautiful, most beautiful one.